Well, each week at the meeting of a local club, a different member was asked to give a brief statement about his job. And when it came time for the Christian pastor to give the details of his job and describe what he did, he stood up and said, "I'm a global representative. We have branches in every country in the world. We have our representatives in nearly every parliament and boardroom on earth. We're into renovation, motivation, and behavior alteration. We run hospitals, feeding stations, crisis pregnancy centers, universities, publishing houses, and nursing homes. We care for our clients from birth to death. We are into life insurance and fire insurance. We perform spiritual heart transplants. Our original organizer owns all the real estate on Earth, plus an assortment of galaxies and constellations. He knows everything and lives everywhere. Our product is free for the asking, and besides, there's not enough money to buy it. Our CEO was born in a hick town, worked as a carpenter, didn't own a home, was misunderstood by his family, hated by his enemies, walked on water, was condemned to death without a trial, and arose from the dead. And I talk with him every day." That's a pretty good statement of what God is doing on earth through his organization, the church. I think it would be very helpful for us to get a sense of what Christians are called to be when we think about serving the Lord. The invisible blood-bought church is the most important organization on earth, and it does the most important work of any other group on the planet. And it represents the living God on earth and does his work. And we work for his honor and for his glory. I'm glad there was at least one person in there that said, "I'm here, my purpose is to bring honor and glory to God." Because that's what it's all about. Otherwise, we have no purpose. Most of them probably would have agreed with eat, drink, and be merry. Be happy, be happy, be happy, for tomorrow we die. And that's the strategy and philosophy of a lot of people. But this church is an amazing thing. And God is the leader, the head of it. And today we want to think about that just a little bit. You know, we're thinking about goals for 2025. And we want involvement for God to be a part of that. You know, God did not put us on earth to do our thing, but to do his thing. And in doing his thing, that's where we find our fulfillment and our purpose. There are all kinds of verses throughout the scripture I could bring to this point. Let me show you a few. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works." So God is training us. That's what the workmanship is all about. And because we have put our faith in Jesus, we're created in Christ Jesus. Why? To do good works. And God made that list for us before we were born. Are we working on the list? And then he said, Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." That's the purpose. Do good deeds, do helpful things, and bless others. And finally, they step back and say, "Wow, so-and-so is a Christian, and I am just tickled at how their God loves them and how they pass that on to others." And then, how do we do all that? Well, it's beyond our strength, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. God says, "I'm going to give you everything you need to accomplish everything I want you to accomplish. You won't come up short at all." And boy, is that true. I have found that true in ministry. If you had told me in 1980 when I started preaching to that wee little congregation down there in Okeechobee, Florida, that 45 years I would still be going at it, and I'd have said, I'm going to run out of Bible. I'm sure I will run out of messages. And God just keeps opening that door for me over and over again, and it's an amazing thing. And so that grace has been certainly extended to me as well. And then Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people, and here's the important thing, that are his very own, eager to do what is good. God wants it to be in our hearts that we go do things good. We bless the people around us. You know, you may be the only one in that world that touches your coworkers and your family. And God says, go among them and do all the good you can to bless them, encourage them, and so on. So the verses make it very clear that when I become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, I start doing his work on earth. It's important that we do that, we understand that. So the purpose of the church and as individuals should be to be about involvement for God. I am busy serving him, doing his work as we live here on earth. And you know, I need to point out at this point, I think that his wages and his rewards for doing his work are astounding. Do you believe that? You think that's true? Yeah. And you know, the work he has us to do is, I don't want you to take this message as, oh, we need more workers in the church. I mean, there's always something to do. But God needs people in your world where you are right now as his representative. It's like you are Jesus walking around in his world and in your world, and you're making a difference. And you're blessing people, and they're encouraged because you're there. You know, the scriptures couch this work in so many different words, so many painting of pictures for us. For example, he uses the term of plowing. So we're plowing into each other's lives than trying to plant good things. We're preparing the soil, we're watering, we're planting, we're harvesting. And we're doing that in the people that are around us in our world. We're teaching, we're training, we're discipling, we're loving, we're encouraging, we're giving, we're sharing. And people ought to just love having us around because we add something to their life. And I think that's a great goal for us here in 2025. Most people live their lives just selfishly focused on me, myself, and I. I want to be happy. I want to do my own thing. I want things to come to me. I want to be the center of focus and attention. And God says, no, no, no. The arrows should go away from our lives. I'm giving. I'm sharing. I'm loving. I'm assisting. I'm encouraging. And so I give away and I give away and I give away. We ought to be engaged in that, engrossed in that, absorbed in that. That ought to be our focus in life, involvement with God. You know, the Bible uses many different pictures to help us understand different principles. For example, well, I should let you see this for a moment. Great goal for this year. But some of those pictures would be, this would be one. He tells us to be born again. Well, we understand the concept of born. And so we need to start again. And he offers us that. And then he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. We understand that picture because you have to have the branches connected to the vine in order to produce the fruit. And so that's the way we have to live. What a wonderful picture. And then we understand the picture of the bride and the bridegroom. Jesus is the groom and we're the bride, and that's expressing relationship. And so these word pictures are really something. The picture used in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is Christ's body. The church is the body of Christ. What an interesting picture he frames this discussion around. Picture of the body. Well, let me pick off two verses here. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink." So let's start there. We are the body of Christ. Us, all of us who have been baptized into the body of Christ. Now, don't think water baptism there. That's not what I'm talking about. But when you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, he places you into, or that's what the word baptize means, or baptizo in the Greek. It means you take something and that's what a cloth maker would do to dye the cloth from the probably the drab white color it was into some royal color or rich color. He'd have the dye in a bin, and he would take this cloth, and he would go, and he's baptizing it in. You see why we Baptists immerse. And then he would take it out, and it would be this other color. And so that's what God is saying to us about our relationship to the Lord Jesus. He takes us, and we're placed in to the Lord Jesus, into his body. We're baptized or immersed into the body of Christ. This is not a second work of grace. This is something that happens the moment you believe. The instant before, you are not in Christ. The instant before you believe, you are not a part of his body. But the moment you believe, boom, boom, you're in. You're in his body now. And that's what it's talking about. We're talking about spirit baptism. It's a creative act, the process of creating his body. And so, you know, he keeps adding people to his body. And each one is given a different task. We're going to talk about that more in a moment. But at the Bema seat, at the judgment seat of Christ, after all of us have gone through that process, all of a sudden it's going to become visible and really quite amazing what the body of Christ looks like, because it'll be there whole, complete. I think it's going to look like a bride in the first stages, because we're going to get married to him. And so it's just kind of an awesome thing to think about. So at the Bema seat, his body will be seen in all its glory for the first time. Now, also those verses tell us that he's the head. He's the head. Verse 27, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." We're a part of what he's doing, and he's the head. What does your head do? It doesn't just sit up there on top of your neck and look pretty. It does a lot more. I mean, that's one thing it does. But it does a lot more than that, doesn't it? That's your thinking center, your processing center, your command center, if you will. And so he's the head, we're the body. The body follows the orders of the head, and the head commands and decides and determines. As head, he does the thinking, the directing, the controlling, and we as the body do the work. And it seems like that's what God has ordained for this age. He says, "You are my body, you're like there, and I'm not in the physical body, but like I used to walk around the Sea of Galilee and into Jerusalem and in Samaria and everywhere else, I went about doing good." And that's what the scripture says. He went about doing good. That's what we ought to be doing as well. So God's ordained that for this age. And he's wise enough to know that he's going to need a person in this area at this time, at this moment, and he'd put you there. And so he has a job for you, for me, for all of us. And we can make a difference where we are in our world. The head needs the body to accomplish what the head determines must be done. And I think Jesus has sort of limited himself. And I'm sure there are times in heaven where angels go, you know, send us. You can't trust those human beings to do anything right. Just send us. Jesus says, no, I'm going to do my work through human beings, my human family, my church body. So we are the body of Christ. Now I want you to know, too, that each believer is a part of that body. You saw that there in verse 27. No believer is left out. There's no believer that can go, oh, boy, when God was building his, when Christ was building his body, he missed me. He didn't put me in there. He left me out. No. Every believer is on his team somewhere. Opportunity is given to each one of us to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. He assigns each one of us what we are to do, and all are considered a part of the whole. And so opportunity is given to everyone, and that makes every part special. Every part. There are no extra or unneeded parts. I always get a kick out of the fact, you know, when I was a kid, they told us in the books that the appendix was not important. You know, it was a mistake of evolution. I remember the book saying that, because we don't need that anymore. But I think over the years, the medical community is discovering there's been purpose for that. So every part of the body is necessary in some way. Which part of your body would you like to just cut off and not have? I'm not hearing anything. Not going to willingly give up anything, huh? Because, yeah, we need it all. And so every part of Christ's body are necessary too. So you and I are on the team. Every one of us is on the team. There are no bench warmers. Everybody is on the field of play. You know, so often we think, well, it's the pastor and the Sunday school teachers and the youth workers and everybody else that's out there performing, and the rest of us are just giving money and clapping. We're applauding. We're letting them know how much we appreciate what they do. But God never intended it to be that way. You know, if you're not actively serving the Lord, then it's like a football team where the quarterback says, hike, and three players do nothing, or one player does nothing, while the rest of the team is doing something. That team's going to lose, right? So you can't be like a football player who does nothing when the ball is hiked, because that's going to cause suffering for the team. I've also found usually those that are not working are the ones criticizing. That's why we like people to be busy. Somebody has said, and I agree with it, instead of waiting to go to heaven, I will work diligently for heaven until I enter. That's a pretty good purpose in life, isn't it? So each believer is part of the body. And I think it's pretty obvious to us, isn't it, that each believer is like a different part of the body. And, you know, in this part of Corinthians, Paul is talking about each of us has a different function or task as a part of the body. You know, my ear is pretty good at hearing, but it's not very good at seeing. It just does not do well seeing. I rely on my eyes to see. My teeth don't hear very well. You have teeth that hear? My heart does a pretty good job of pumping blood. My legs don't do very well in that department. See, every part of the body has a specific task. And so, You know, everything's different, but everything's necessary. You have a thumb for a reason. You have lymph nodes and knees and a stomach and eyes and ankles and vocal cords, and you have a big toe and you have hands. When you put all those together, they function. It works. Your body works. Without them, you're in trouble. Well, that's the way we have to look at the body of Christ as well. When you become a believer in the body of Christ, you become one of those parts. And so there are all sorts of things that we can do. And, you know, that's why God makes us all so different. You should not depend on me for hospitality. These ladies do so much better than I do. You know, Lisa and Lori and the whole team. I would mess it up. God has not programmed me to be able to really function well in that area. I would probably spend more time worrying about it and messing it up than anything else. Well, you can see that in life, some people are this, and some people can do this well, and some people do this well, and we have to have everybody to make the culture and society work. And so in the church, it's the same way. All of us have a different job, a different task. We're a different part of the body. We're all uniquely gifted in that way. That's why I think sometimes we don't understand each other. Because, you know, I've noticed that with evangelists. Evangelists all think that everybody ought to evangelize. Because they've been given those gifts and it comes easier for them. I have to watch that as a pastor because it's easy for me to study the scripture. And so I have to be careful I don't stand up and say, okay, everybody has to be like me. Although we do want to get into the Bible and study the scripture, that's important. But we tend to see the church, each other, through our own gifts. And some people have the, you know, the gift of mercy and compassion, and they're going to see life and particularly people in the church and what the church is doing different from those who perhaps are really into the scripture and are more black and white in the way they see things. We're going to be really different from one another. And so, but we should love those differences. And as long as we're being led by the Holy Spirit and energized by Him, we ought to be happy that all the different gifts are functioning. So each believer is like a different part of the body. I heard a preacher say once, I don't know if I should say it, but he said, don't be surprised in the church if you meet a few heels here and there. And a few other odd parts, perhaps. I'm glad he said that so I can quote him. And not me saying it. Every part in the body is needed to make the whole body work. You know, you just said you wouldn't want anything taken out of your body. You need it all. I mean, every part we think about. And we're just in our own congregation, you know, a hip stops working. You need that hip. And Donna knows that. And kidney stones don't belong in the kidney. They interrupt the work of the kidney. And so it's important to clean them out so that it functions in the right sort of way. And so every part is needed and necessary to make the whole body work. Let me share this. This is 1 Corinthians 12. I like the Living Bible take on this. Our bodies have many parts, but many parts make up only one body when you put them all together. So it is with the body of Christ. Each of us is a part of the one body of Christ, and some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves, some are free, but the Holy Spirit has fitted us all together into one body. We have been baptized into Christ's body by one Spirit and have all been given that same Holy Spirit. Yes, the body has many parts, not just one part, If a foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And what would you think if you heard an ear say, I'm not part of the body because I'm only an ear and not an eye? Would that make it any less a part of the body? Suppose the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body were just one big ear, how could you smell anything? But that isn't the way God made us. He has made many parts for our bodies and has put each part just where he wants it. What a strange thing a body would be if it only had one part. So he made many parts, and there's still only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. And some parts that are weakest and least important are really the most necessary. Yes, we are especially glad to have some parts that seem rather odd. When we carefully protect from the eyes of others those parts that should not be seen. Well, of course, the parts that may be seen don't require that kind of special care. So God has put the body together in such a way that extra honor and care are given to the parts that might otherwise seem less important. This makes for happiness among the parts, so that the parts have the same care for each other that they do for themselves. So if one part suffers, all parts suffer with it. If one part is honored, all parts are glad. Now, what I'm trying to say, he says there in verse 27, all of you together are the one body of Christ, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it. Folks, every one of you is such a special part of the body of Christ. And God has given you some ability, some gift that will help you go out and show his love and mercy to others, to help them in their worlds, to bless them, to encourage them. We must go do it. And we need each part in order to make the whole thing function. So because Holiday Shores Baptist Church is in this community, we ought to be going out to make a difference in this community as the body of Christ. So important, so important. It's foolish to expect the hand to do the work of the stomach, or the stomach to do the work of a shoulder. The little toe can't do the work of an elbow. Can't do it. The liver can't do the work of the kidney. The thumb can't do the work of the bladder. The eye cannot do the work of the ear. Each part has to do their own special thing they were created to do in order to make the whole thing function. And as Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Did you catch that? The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Boy, here in 2025, we ought to be doing the Lord's work. In the church, outside the church, in our homes, in our workplaces, everywhere we are, doing God's work where we are, that's important. If that's all true, how can we sit by and let others do the work? This is a great experience God calls us to. So God put me into the body of Christ. He has made me a certain part to function in a certain way. Nobody else in the body may function in just the way I do. So I got to do what I do to make the body complete. And if I'm not functioning, something's missing in the body. So if I'm not using my spiritual gift, I'm causing a malfunction in the body. I think we'd call that pain. Some folks say, well, you know, I don't have to use my spiritual gift in the church. I'll just give money, lots of money, so that others can be hired to go do the work. Beep. No. I mean, there are people that know how to sacrificially give. I think they have the spiritual gift of giving. And that would be for a separate time and a different study. Those folks are usually very, very generous in the way they give. It's just what they, you know, they wake up in the morning and say, how can I give something away? How can I be generous today? And there's a place for that. But you can't purchase something and somebody else do your job, because it makes the body incomplete. We're to minister our gifts here in the church and in the world around us. You know, I've often said that I think every Christian should be involved some way inside the church, and every Christian ought to have some sort of ministry toward others outside the church. Maybe we need to think through, what does God want me to do? So, wow. We're to minister with our gifts everywhere we can. That would be a good thing to do in 2025. So we are the body of Christ. Every saved individual is a part of that body. Every saved individual is like a different part of the body. And Christ needs each part to function to make the whole body work. So we've been placed on earth to work for the living God. We've been given spiritual gifts in order to accomplish what he wants us to do and what needs to be done. And he's the head, and he's looking around, and he's saying, okay, we need to accomplish this and this, so I'm going to call on this and this parts of the body to move in and do that need, fix that need. We must be involved in our private world in the name of Christ. That's what God calls us to do. Involved for God. Involved for him. Intimacy, getting to know him. Learning and growing, instruction. And now involved for him. As the hymn writer Charles Brown said, to be God's people in this place. Live his goodness, share his grace. Proclaim God's mercy through his Son. Be his love to everyone. That's what God calls us to do. I sure hope if they you're ever walking down the street and they shove a microphone in front of your face and they ask you, what is your purpose for living? I hope you answer back and say, I am here to love and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to him and to be his representative on earth. And that would be the right answer, if it's true. Let's stand and pray together, shall we? Father, we're so grateful that you allow us to be a part of what you're doing. And not only do you allow us to be a part of what you're doing, but you have prepared us and given us the special gifts that we need to do what you need done. And so we thank you for that. Father, help us more and more to see ourselves as servants, as people who are here to honor and glorify God in the church and in our own private world. Father, I know people like that, and they're just, it's profound what you use them for. And so may we go and be a blessing. Father, make us God's people in this place. Help us to live out your goodness and to share your grace. Help us to proclaim your mercy that you gave us through your Son, the Lord Jesus, and to show your love to everyone around us. Help us to do that. Father, if there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus as Savior, boy, today would be a great day to get saved and to come into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, they need to understand they're traveling down a road that leads to destruction. They're on the broad road. And while it looks like there might be many pleasure and great things along the way, at the end, it's death. And so many of these folks they were talking to in the video, Father, at the end of their life, they're not going to find happiness and joy and peace. They're going to find destruction. But we can enter through Christ, who is the gate, the way that leads to life. And Jesus said there aren't very many people to find that. I pray that everyone within the hearing of my voice will find that narrow gate, that they will come through the Lord Jesus Christ. That every day they live, they will be growing in love for Him, appreciation for Him. May they understand how special He is and how precious He is. And Father, thank You for what You do in our lives to bring us to the point of trusting Christ, not only for salvation, but for everyday living, step by step by step. Thank You for who You are and what You're doing in our lives. And Father, I pray that here in 2025, we might be involved and even more involved in the service of our King. Thank You so much. Bless our thoughts as we sing and as we go from this place, in Jesus' name.